The end of the Piyutz does make reference, again, in a very poetic way, Kitam chakta b'kesei fanecha. Tam is the perfect one. The perfect one is engraved in the throne of your chariots. And this is a reference to the Maimer Chazal, again in a very poetic way, that Yaakov Avinu's face is on the Kisei HaKavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks, as it were, at Yaakov Avinu, at the Sechus of Am Yisrael, and that will ultimately be the source of the Geula and the source of the redemption. And we end with the beginning of Perek Hei Avecha, Zechor Hashem, Mahayalanu, remember Hashem. And again, the idea of divine memory does not mean, God forbid, that Hashem forgets. But as Rashi says many places in the Chumash, the concept of memory that we use about the Almighty is Nosan Libay Alav, that may God, as it were, put his heart to act on his memory to bring us Geula. The next one we're going to say, again, everyone is valuable, is we're going to go to number 11, Yud Aleph. And number 11 is based on a story in Tanakh as augmented by the Medrash. And that is, the fourth chapter of Eicha begins, Eicha Yuam Zahav, how has the gold become dimmed? Yishne HaKesem HaPaz, how the precious gold has become dirtied and sullied. And the Gemara tells us that in point of fact, this was not written about the Churban Beis HaMikdash. This was written about an earlier event that Yirmiyahu incorporated in his kinos because he saw a causal relationship between that earlier event and the Churban Beis HaMikdash. And Perek Dalet of Eicha is the eulogy, the hesped, that Yirmiyahu HaNavi gave about King Yoshiyahu. Who was King Yoshiyahu? Yoshiyahu was king around 30 years before the Churban. He died 22 years before the Churban. And Yoshiyahu came after a succession of evil kings. There was Menashe, who ruled for a very long time, over 50 years, who filled Eretz Yisrael with Avodah Zarah and murder. And then Menashe had a son, Amon, who was also a Russia. But then, miraculously, there was a little child, Yoshiyahu HaMelech. Yoshiyahu became king at the very young age of 8. And somehow Yoshiyahu was inspired to look for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring Am Yisrael to tshuva. From the psukim it appears that his mentor, his Rebbe, his inspiration, was the Kohen Gadol called Chilkiah. And what's interesting is, Yirmiyahu's father is said to be Chilkiah, and although we don't know for sure that it's the same, but many Mefarshim learn that the Chilkiah, the Kohen, in the days of Yoshiyahu was none other than Yirmiyahu's own father, who inspired Yoshiyahu. And during the reigns of Menashe and Amon, there was so much rishus in Am Yisrael that literally Sifrei Torah were destroyed. There literally was not even necessarily an awareness of the Tiras Hashem. But in the course of doing maintenance in the Beis HaMikdash, they discovered a Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah miraculously was open to the section of the Teichacha in Devarim that says, if Bnei Yisrael do Averos, there's going to be Gullus and Churban. And Yoshiyahu saw this as a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we must repent. And Yoshiyahu was the last best hope that somehow this tide of evil and degradation that was spinning rapidly out of control could be reversed. And Yoshiyahu was machzir much of Klal Yisrael to tshuva. But the Gemara says, unfortunately, much of this tshuva was only superficial. That people were late sunei hador. Late sunei hador means they were scoffers, meaning they kept the Torah publicly, but privately they made fun of their fanatical little king, who seemed to be so righteous and the like. And that's why Rav Elazar Kalir refers to it as Davak Bo Chet Leitzanei Hador. The sin of the scoffers pulled Yoshiyahu down because he did not accomplish what he could have accomplished. But the story goes that Yoshiyahu thought that Klal Yisrael was deserving of Hashem's bracha because of the tshuva that he had thought he had effected. And in the book of Malachim it is recorded that Paro from Egypt wanted to wage war against Assyria, not against Eretz Yisrael, and simply wanted to use the land of Israel as a safe passage. He wanted to move his army through. Yoshiyahu, who was at this point king of a very small empire, because remember, not an empire, a very small state, because remember, the 10 tribes had already been exiled. Yoshiyahu's kingdom is not at all very large as compared to Egypt, which was a world power. But Yoshiyahu said, Hashem promised us in the Tochacha that if we do the mitzvos, Cherev leisavar biartzechem, there will be no enemy sword that will pass through your land. And Yoshiyahu understood this to mean not just the cherev of milchama, not just the sword of war of an enemy, but even some other nation that is not coming to wage war against you, but they will not go through your lands. So Yoshiyahu said to Paro, can't come through. Yirmiyahu warned him and he says, listen, you are not on the madrega to fight against Mitzrayim. You're not on the madrega to fight against Mitzrayim at this point. But Yoshiyahu was batuach in his sitkus. He said to Paro, no. Paro said, who do you think you are? Paro, in fact, brought his army into Eretz Yisrael. There was a great, great battle in Megiddo. And in Megiddo, Yoshiyahu's body was pierced with 300 arrows, like a sieve. And as he was dying, the Leitzanei Hador, the scoffers, wanted to hear his dying words because they hoped and they thought that he would renounce God. He would say, I served God and God betrayed me. But no, Yoshiyahu's last words as he left this world was, Tzadik hu Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's righteous, ki piyu marisi, I rebelled against Hashem by not listening to the Nevi'im. This was the death of Yoshiyahu. It was, of course, tragic. But why does Yirmiyahu incorporate it into Eicha? And why is it the Kinos of Tisha? Remember, this was, you know, Egypt killed him, but Egypt did not conquer Malchus Yehuda. And Nebuchadnezzar did not destroy the Beis HaMikdash till a number of years later. But with the insight of hindsight as well as prophecy, Yirmiyahu understood that the death of Yoshiyahu was the end of the reasonable possibilities of tshuva, and therefore, in effect, the gezeira was sealed. And in fact, Rabbi Elazar Kalir brings a medrash, which we don't really know. He must have had access to lost medrashim, that the churban should have happened right then, but Hashem deferred the Churban for 22 years in the zechus of Yirmiyahu eulogizing Yoshiyahu with the hesped of the Aleph Beis, the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. So this kina is based on this story, and it does remind us that when we lose our gedolim, and this is something we've experienced in our own lifetime, when we lose our teachers, we lose our guides, we lose those that can inspire us, then we ourselves become vulnerable to many, many dangers for two reasons. Number one, the zechus of a tzaddik protects a generation. And number two, the presence of a tzaddik instructs and elevates a generation. And when we lose those tzaddikim, we are lacking both of them. So we will say kina number 11. By Yekonin, you're me.